Okay, fine. Yes, so this briefing is being recorded and it'll be available on our website for download after the call. The briefing is an informal one. If you have any questions, feel free to interrupt. As set out in the agenda, the briefing is set to take approximately 15 minutes and then there'll be a Q&A session. Those of you familiar with Investable ETR can leave at that point. Andrew will then take over, present the Investable ETR for the remaining audience that would like to get more information about the product and how the exchange works. And at the end of his presentation, we can also have questions and answers. So to begin the month four Investable ETR briefing, we're presenting covers the trading period from the 1st of April to the 30th of April. So as the briefing document explains, exchange-traded receivables are leases, monetary obligations, or bills issued under contract for assets, goods, and services supplied to investment-quality companies or credit-insured invoices from investment-grade insurers. What this means is that an ETR is evidence of a debt owing from one company to another. These tend to be large companies that are household names, and they owe money to their smaller micro to medium sized suppliers. So we call these micro to medium sized businesses originators because they originate the debt obligation transactions that create the ETR that are traded on the exchange. The ETR is evidence of the large company's liability to the smaller one, and credit exchange buy these ETR at a nominal discount to their face value. In doing so, when the ETR are settled or paid in full, the difference between the face value that is settled and the discount that it was purchased for creates a margin, and it is this margin that creates the yield or return for investors. As the briefing states, at the end of April, credit exchange held active RSA of 29.42 million. And this is about 1.5 million lower than last month. RSA, by the way, stands for a revolving sale agreement. And a revolving sale agreement is a document or contract between the micro to medium sized business or the originator and credit exchange. So the revolving sale agreement is a commitment by the originator to sell a certain value of ETR to the exchange in any given period. Typically, that's 1 year. For example, let's say an originator needs a revolving credit facility of $250,000 in order to run their business. They'll come to us, much like they would go to a bank, and apply for that credit facility. If we agree to offer them the $250,000 on a revolving basis, let's say it's revolving every 60 days, they must agree to sell us $250,000 worth of ETR every 60 days and therefore $1.5 million worth of ETR every 12 months. So this commitment to sell $1.5 million ETR annually to the exchange is documented in their revolving sale agreement or RSA agreement with us. And as stated at the end of April, last month, credit exchange held 29.42 million of these active RSA contracts. The briefing then goes on to say that there was 28.44 million fully allocated, and this is almost 2.5 million more than in March. What this means is that on the last day of April, the exchange held ETR valued at 28.44 million. In other words, there was 28 million of investors' funds in the market. Moving on to the next figure, it states that investors redeemed just under a million at 990,000 of their funds in March. As you'll recall, last month there was an unusually large amount of withdrawals due mainly to some of our professional investors needing cash to shore up margin calls and other cash calls on bonds and equity trades caused by the coronavirus panic mid-month March. Again, for those of you unfamiliar with the distinction, the vast majority of the investors on the exchange are retail investors, meaning that they must be referred to us by a financial advisor or intermediary. So credit exchange will not take funds from a member of the public without them being properly advised by a recognized investment advisor like many of you on this call. There are a select few of professional investors that come directly to us without the need for an intermediary because we have vetted them and approved them as being professional investors with experience of financial markets and financial instruments. So, as I said, there was just under 1 million of redemption in April, and these were all from retail investors. So clients of some of the people on this call made up all of those redemptions. As stated in our COVID-19 briefing, the current crisis will be good for investable ETR investors. And that brings the focus of this presentation to the ETR average duration figure of 107 days. We call this ETR average duration the credit index, and it's our measure of the average time it takes for an ETR to get settled. In other words, from the day the ETR is issued, the number of days it takes for the debt to be extinguished or settled, meaning return to cash. So in March, the index hit an all-time high of 117 days. And in April, we saw this decrease slightly to 107 days. So if you compare this to April of 2019, the credit index was 77 days. This means on average it took 77 days for ETR to settle. So they were settling roughly five times a year. So with the credit index at 107 days, it means that ETR are still only settling roughly three times a year. So in simple terms, an originator that needed a revolving credit facility of 100,000 to run their business last year now needs a facility of around 160,000 to run the same business this year, though 60% more than they needed last year. That being the case, if originators need more finance, then the exchange needs more investor funds to meet that originator demand. When we get to the Q&A part of the briefing, I have a few questions for the audience in that regard, because we see that there are ever-increasing signs that we need to attract more investor funds. And I'd appreciate your collective comments in that regard. As I said, let's talk about that at the Q&A part of the briefing. To repeat what I said last month, in January, we predicted a strong growth in the exchange's business during 2020. And the coronavirus continues to underpin that prediction for us, on condition that the market returns to work soon. Before moving on, if I may, I'm going to quote from the Federal Reserve Chairman's announcement as his FOMC briefing on the 29th of April. I'm not actually quoting from the briefing statement itself, but from his unscripted answer to a question he was asked during the briefing, where he said, and I quote, "This is an unusually new kind of uncertainty added on top of our regular uncertainty. But I will say, I think there are a few things you can say about the path ahead. First, this time now is going to be a sharp contraction in economic activity, high unemployment, personal consumption expenditures have declined sharply, business investments as well. Unemployment has moved up, and we're going to see economic data for the second quarter that's worse than any data we've seen for the economy." You'll notice he didn't say for the economy since 2008 or since 1980 or even 1926. What he seems to be saying is that's the worst data they've seen for the economy ever. And on that same day, from a source we've been unable to corroborate, there was a separate announcement that on that same day, 68% of the world's workforce were not working. We think that's important for both you and indeed your clients to think about that, with two-thirds of the world's workforce not working and the Federal Reserve telling us they have the worst numbers on record ever. Anyway, this will help explain why in April we saw a significant decrease in trade value in the month. At this stage of the year, we trade somewhere between 10 and 15 million, but instead we traded only six. So, meaning we only purchased 6 million worth of ETR in the month of April. And that's a sharp drop for us. But because we had a relatively strong first quarter, our year to date for this year versus last year, we're still 16.5% ahead of our 2019 figures. So given what Mr. Powell is saying, I suppose we have to be grateful that our numbers remain positive to strong in April. So moving on, below that, you'll see in the same period, Treasury performance was 8.74 million. This means we spent 6 million and collected 8.75 million. We monitor this, as I may have explained before, to ensure the balance of funds in versus funds out remains stable and within the control parameters set down by Trade Desk and Treasury. That's clearly a lopsided spread from April. It means we're slightly overcashed for the month. We're also going to see a repeat of this level of performance in May, or a slump in performance during the month of May, but we can already predict a sharp reversal in June with the originator deals closing that we have and a sharp increase in the past week alone. Moving to the center of the document, we list the 10 largest investable holdings and the top rated holdings. These two lists show what companies or organization owed the exchange the largest amount of money at the end of April. And as you'll see, the HSE and Huawei were the largest debtors on the exchange. Su Tun Tzu and Atreides, Vodafone and Cork City County Council remain high on our list as they did last month. And then on the right are the highest rated debtors are listed, regardless of the amount of their liability. As none of these were investment grade or have an investment grade rating at the end of April, this is simply a selection of the most creditworthy. Moving then down to the pie chart, these listings demonstrate a significant change in the typically well-diversified spread of ETR across the market. Given the current health pandemic, it's hardly surprising that the HSE and others in the health and community sector were 30% of our book during April. And for those of you unfamiliar with the classification system we use, it's the European classification for industry sectors called NACE, N-A-C-E. With regard to the actual performance of the exchange in April of this year versus April 2019, as I stated, there was a sharp drop, and as a result, the trading volume was down almost 70% when compared with the same time last year. But also, as I mentioned earlier, we had a relatively strong first quarter, and therefore year to date, this year versus last year, we're still ahead by some 16% or more. You may recall last month we were some 30% ahead of our growth projections by the end of quarter one, and now you can see that that has been almost halved. We did predict the April's drop would be poor, and May's numbers we are expecting will be something similar to April's. But without being disrespectful to the health aspects of the coronavirus, I think the common health belief is that most people agree that it's time that the majority of people went back to work. Ireland, like everywhere else, needs to get its industries moving again. Next, you can see we still have more than 6,000 creditors or debtors at month end in April, relative to the number of trading companies in Ireland. This is a significant, statistically strong reference point when considering the validity of the credit index. In other words, the credit index is a strong indicator of how credit control and payment cycles are performing in Ireland at any moment. And to finish up on our performance in April, the largest single trade was less than 200,000. As Andrew will explain later, the average value of an ETR is roughly 2,000 euro. But we have traded ETR where the value has been less than a euro. As you can see here, we had one that was 200,000. But we have many months where single trades can be in the parts or wholes of millions. Moving to the trend section of the April briefing, we can see that the investor's yield or buy price during April averaged 1.848. This is a single basis point higher than March and reflects the stability of the market during March and April compared to the 10 basis points higher yield average of 1.950 in January and February. Having said that, April started at a low of 1.850 and ended the period at a higher rate of 1.881. So as most of you are aware, this rate changes daily and can be checked anytime on the investable.com website homepage. To discuss trend in a little bit more detail, the graph on the right shows the movement during the month. And as the briefing states, we expect that the prevailing rate of below 1.9 to 2.0 for the past year or so should turn and grow upward as we seek to meet the originator demand in June and on into quarter three. And finally, the briefing ends with a repeat of the active RSA or revolving sale agreement figure of 49.42 million.